happiness. Warm gun. That's kind of the Trump foreign policy. And look, absolutely now more than ever, we need people who are going to hold this administration accountable, since, look, the Republicans aren't going to do it. Just not going to happen. And you may remember, we started here on the program, some time ago, the idea to draft my good friend David Yankovich into running for political office. And I saw the Twitters lighting up yesterday. Deborah Messing saying, look, we want a debate with Paul Ryan. You got Rosie O'Donnell saying that she would max out a contribution to David. So I gotta get David on the line. I gotta ask what's going on. David Yankovich, thanks for taking time for us.
Always, Rick. Thanks for having me.
All right, flat out, what's going on?
Twitter,
come on.
Twitter rumors are fun.
Yeah, Twitter rumors are fun. What's going on? Come on. Tell me.
Right now, all we're doing is looking into a race. Paul Ryan's at the weakest he's ever been. We have a Republican House that's taken control and is in total corruption. And I'm trying to band together, not just myself or anything like that, but actually a country full of people who are looking into every single race and every single office, especially the ones they say we can't win.
And Ryan's, I would have to argue, being one of those races. Look, he's unpopular, yes, but we were talking about the Speaker of the House.
Well, whoever takes Ryan on is going to have a fight no matter what. But they have to have a fight in them to take him on. I'm not seeing a lot of Democrats stepping into a lot of these races like I want to yet, but I know they're coming. So, I mean, I just really want 2018 to be the big blue wave. I want Democrats to push on all fronts, to go out there and fight as hard as we can, and I want to beat them. I want to take the smug look off of all their faces and win. But we almost did it last night, too.
No, and that was a great election, but here's the reality. At the end of it, putting up the good fight is one thing. Winning is another part. So I love your idea of, hey, let's build that kind of grassroots consensus. Let's get people in every race. I'm asking about you. What are you doing?
Right now, I'm just looking into races. I'm debating on it. We're researching. I have not made a decision on what I'm going to do yet.
Because I got to be honest with you, as I've been following, as you know, we've been friends a while. As I've been following this rise, this buzz that's around you. Look, you got Rosie O'Donnell saying, "I'll give you money, man."
Well, it's really flattering. It really is. Remember the first time you asked me this? The very first time, you know, I said I would need support, and I said that I would need backing, and it would have to be, you know, because if I do go, I'm going to win. I'm going to go as hard as I possibly can. I'm going to fight as hard as I possibly can. And I'm either going to win or I'm going to make it really, really close. Right now, I haven't decided, and we're just really looking into all the races and seeing what is best.
Right. Because at the end of it, look, I mean, we've got some very serious problems in this country. And while what we're seeing on the international level, I mean, as I said earlier, you got Iran that the Trump administration has put on notice. We're rattling the sabers with North Korea. They bombed Syria. They bombed Afghanistan. Trump's still got Iraq on the brain. You know, there's chaos. There needs to be someone in the room to say, hey, whoa, hold on a second.
I totally agree. And, you know, going back to what I said before, we need to be in every single race. And I know we're not going to win all these things, but when we show up to every fight, we're drawing down their money. We're drawing down their time. If we have someone who's strong going up against Ryan, strong going up against ISIS, strong going up against all the power players in the Republican Party, they're going to have to focus on their races. They're going to have to come home. They're actually going to have to hold town halls and meet with their constituents and actually pretend like they care. And for so long, they haven't. But if we don't challenge these people and we keep sending up candidates who are going to get slaughtered, we're not going to get anywhere. We have to challenge in every single race, every single time. We have to be in their faces. If we want to take it back, we have to tax them out.
But here at the end of it, it comes down to the money. Again, it comes back to, you know, I hate to sound like a broken record. It comes down to the ability to be able to compete.
Oh, it definitely comes down to the ability. I mean, you can only be so strong and so tough. You know, if you're, what do they say, a leader with no followers is just a guy taking a walk.
Good point.
So, I mean, we have to have that support, and all of us do. And 2018 has to be a giant blue wave. We just played in, you know, over 48% last night in the most conservative district in Georgia. You know, last week it was Kansas with Thompson. We're seeing things we haven't seen before, and I don't want Democrats to feel upset that we're not picking these up. these are things that we had no shot at picking up.
Right.
30-point races that, you know, just 2 months ago, you know, Ossoff's race in the sixth, I mean, that was 20 points that we lost by. You know, he just won with 48% last night. He led. I mean, I'm proud. And he went against, what, 16 Republicans? I mean, we're doing really well. It's just we have a lot more to do.
But then it comes back down to the message. And look, one of the things that I saw yesterday out of Trump in Kenosha, where he was at Snap-on giving, you know, basically signing an executive order that he didn't need to do. I mean, he needed to do nothing other than pick up the phone and tell the Commerce Secretary to stop giving exemptions to the Buy American provisions and to tell Republicans that we actually believe that instead of just the campaign stop that yesterday appeared to be. But we need to be talking about those things. And the Democratic Party needs to internalize that stuff and be the fighter of working people again.
No, I mean, you know, you and me have been talking about that for a year or two. You know, I mean, you had the quote originally with, you know, I don't want to be in a fight with somebody who's going to hold my coat. I want someone who's going to stand next to me and fight with me. And I mean, the party is going through some growing pains. I do see a lot of growth in the last couple months. It's not exactly where I'd want it to be, but I'm proud. You know, we're showing up and we're getting into fights and we're doing this stuff. The messaging has to get better, and it will. The candidates have to get better, and they will. You know, we're doing what we can right now, and I'm really proud to see it. You know, I mean, we saw Jason in the House isn't going to be running for re-election today, and that's
right.
A big story. What's coming? We obviously either spooked him out or scandal's coming for him, because guys with that much power just don't walk away from it.
No, it's a good point. But here's the thing, and I'm focused on you. How do we get you? And look, I think I'm one of the first people to say, David, you got to run for something and really call you to action. What do we need to do to push you the rest of the way?
I need support. That's what it comes down to. I have to make sure that when I jump into a race, it's going to be something that I'm going to own, something that I go in and change the way that races are ran and really campaign as hard as we can. But I can't do any of that stuff without an army, without overwhelming support, without, you know, members of the party getting excited about it. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into any kind of race. You know me, I'm definitely interested in it, but I'm not going to jump into anything unless I'm positive that I am going to be the person who will end his career.
And maybe send him to the unemployment line and maybe get him drug tested.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, we're still in the beginning stages of this.
I mean, because, you know, I look at someone like Ryan, and it would be the perfect fitting end to see him drug tested for unemployment.
Well, I think the perfect fitting end would see him losing to somebody who came out of nowhere.
But again, I come back to this, the importance of messaging, the importance of taking on and fighting for the little guy, because, you know, say what you want about Trump. He picked the perfect messaging, even if he's not going to do anything about it and will probably make it all worse. It's that messaging, and I think that's where the focus should be.
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, really what the messaging for the Democratic Party really needs to be is on the working class. It needs to be, you know, the people that they left behind before, the, you know, all those things. But they also can't forget who their friends were who've been voting for them for the last, you know, 12, 15, 20 years. But the message has to be getting jobs to the middle class. And really, that's, you know, it's the economy, stupid. You know, I mean, that's really what this is going to come down to. And if you guys don't know what that line comes from, that's Bill Clinton's campaign line from 1992. I'm not calling Rick stupid.
No, that's it's actually James Carville. That was his.
Yeah,
he was a masterful political strategist. He's got another real zinger about where I live, called, you know, the center of Pennsylvania, Alabama. But that's a whole nother fight for another day. But here's the thing, and this is where I come back to this, and why I'm excited about the coming months, because I think there is kind of a moment where the Democrats are having that coming to Jesus moment where they've got to go back to their roots. No more can they be the elitists. No more can they pander to Wall Street. At some point, they've got to find the roots. They got to find what got them to the dance.
Well, I mean, that's 100% it. You know, 1960s campaigning, in terms of how Kennedy did it with unions, with getting people out, regular, you know, voters. That's going to be critical, and I'm really excited about what I'm seeing. There's more accessibility towards candidates right now than I've ever seen in my entire life. You're a regular person. You can get on Twitter. You can talk to 90% of the candidates who are going. You can ask them questions. People are showing up to town hall events. I mean, we're getting back to, I mean, you know, a buddy of mine said perfect, you know, that the resistance has become bigger than the party, and it really has. The Democratic Party didn't win last night. The resistance won last night.
let me ask you this, because, you know, at the, you hit something that I think is really important. For too long, our politics have been the, well, the new polo of the wealth class, that in order to participate, you need millions and millions of dollars to be able to fight. You know, how does the average everyday little guy, how does someone like you, David, I mean, to be honest, you've come, you know, almost out of nowhere to gain some notoriety and really talk about the possibility of running. How do you see that moving, or is the path that you've taken the way to go?
Well, I'll say this. It's really incredibly hard for a regular person to do anything in politics. I got lucky in a way. When I started with my Twitter feed and things like that, I was saying things that people wanted to hear. But at the end of the day, I mean, it comes down to this. We're still in the country that you can do anything you want to. And after Donald Trump became president, I decided to basically drop everything I was doing and go full-time into politics. And in 6 months, a lot's happened. That can happen to anybody. If you have the right message at the right time and you're willing to put the work in for it, it can happen. You know, so if there's a regular guy out there who's thinking about running and he's got the right message and the right tone, he can get in. You just have to find a way.
It's all about the interaction. It's all about communications. And something I think the party over the last several years has lost.
It's really all about finding something to believe in. And if you believe in yourself enough, and say, I mean, you're a regular guy and you're in, like, Thompson in Kansas or, you know, any of this, you know, Ossoff even, you know, I mean, he came out of nowhere. There's a moment right now, and I don't know how long the window is going to be open for, but there's a moment where anybody can step in and fight. And as long as you're willing to fight, people are willing to back you up.
I've told you from the beginning, I'm in favor of you running. I'd love to see that. I hope people will line up and support and push, and Rosie writes the check, and Messing does more of that, and more people are out pushing, because I think it'd be a good thing.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens over the next couple months. You know, I'm excited right now just to be part of this and the resistance and help other candidates out who are going and running for office and kind of getting up and going. It's not just one person. You know, I mean, all across the country, people are jumping up, and, you know, I know 2018 is going to be a year to remember. It's going to be a race for all the seats. If we keep going the way we're going right now, we could take 300 seats in Congress. It's going to be a big blue wave of a year, and I'm really excited about the people that I know that are about to jump in.
So let me ask you this, you know, if you do jump in, what's the number one priority?
I'm not going to get there yet. I'm still in the exploratory phases and everything.
For me, the number one issue should be inequality, the idea of giving people the ability to, you know, I was just talking about a Pew study here a minute ago that pointed out that, you know, in this country, 9 out of 10 people that they surveyed said that they would rather have economic stability than to get rich.
I think, you know, that comes back to that old thing, you know, I mean, not a lot of people care about getting so rich that they just can roll around like McScrooge, you know, or Scrooge McDuck. Most people just want to have enough money to keep their lights on and not have to stress out about the car payment and maybe buy some food for their kids. Not everybody just wants to be a billionaire and, you know, screw everybody that works for them. And a lot of people just want enough just to be happy, me and myself included, and you. Just enough to be stable. You know, right now, what is it, 93% of Americans are living one paycheck away from poverty. If you lose your job, it's like some astronomical number like that, and it's crazy. That shouldn't happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. It shouldn't happen. But, and that's why, again, I keep coming back to why I have people on to talk about running for office who are going to stand up and fight for the little guy. And like I said, anything we can do to help, I want to hear it. I'm sure our listeners want to be able to help, because, look, we want people like us representing us.
Well, I promise you this, regardless of what happens, I'm still going to be fighting.
And that's what we want to hear. David, I appreciate the thoughts. I look forward to talking to you again real soon, man.
Thanks for having me.
Congrats.
Thanks, Rick. Have a good one.
Good stuff. Again, if you want to check out his stuff, we'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com. You can check out his Twitter feed. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Up the top.
So that's how it is. That's what we got. If the president wants to admit it or not, you can read it in the paper. Read it on the wall. Hear it on the wind. if you're listening at all, get out of that limo and look us in the eye. Call us on a cell phone, tell us all why. In Dayton, Ohio, or Portland, Maine, or a cotton gin out on the Great High Plains. That's done closed down, along with the school and the hospital and the swimming pool. Dust devils dance in the noonday heat. There's rats in the alley and trash in the street. Gang graffiti on a boxcar door. We can't make it here anymore.